Blessings upon us, and this is the book of Ephesians that we're going over. This is part 8 tonight, and so we want to just turn to that here, and we're going to just ask the Lord just bow our hearts in prayer just for a moment before we get into the Word. So let's just do that right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, we're so thankful again for your blessings tonight upon us. And Lord, as we're beginning to turn to your Word, I know that Brother Branham had talked about how that any man with strength in his body could turn the pages of the Bible. Lord, but it takes you to open the Word to us, Lord. God, to come down in the presence of your Holy Spirit, to anoint, God, gifts and words, Lord, that would cause words of eternal life to be spoken, and Lord, that your Spirit would go in those words and quicken them to your people. And Lord, that's why we're here tonight. We want to sit around your banquet table. We want to sit in your presence, Lord, and sit at your feet, Lord, and hear the words that you would send our way tonight. And so, Lord, we yield ourselves as a speaker and as hearers. Lord, myself also as a hearer of thy word tonight, Lord, that I would be able to hear and speak what you would give tonight. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we ask for a special blessing upon each one that's gathered here tonight. Lord, and those that are missing for whatever reason, we ask that you bless them, Lord, and whatever it is, God, that you move upon them and cause the obstacles that are in the way, Lord, to be dissolved. Lord, let them to be in the house of God where they desire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As you know, those that have been here, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and so as my custom is each time is to go back and kind of rehearse just a little bit about what we've talked about. And I know each time I do, the Holy Spirit brings a little bit more out each time. And so it's not wasted time, by no means. And so we want to do that tonight. But I want to start out by reminding everyone, of course we know this, but just to let me get this runway that I need to get taken off here. We know that Apostle Paul was the church age messenger to the first church age. And now, Brother Randall comes along and he tells us that the book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua. And if you go back, you find out that Joshua was responsible for taking the children of Israel and placing them in their promise. And so before the children of Israel ever came along, God had prepared for them the promised land and even had certain portions of that land that was going to belong to certain tribes. He had already purposed that. And as we covered the other day, that when them mothers of those 12 tribes, those 12 sons of Jacob, when those mothers were in birth, when they spoke that name in their birth pains, that name that they gave was actually prophetic. God moved upon it, and inspiration was in that utterance during pain. And so that's what we was talking about, God's birth, spiritual birth pains. It's when Satan moves upon us and there's pain in our life and suffering and loved ones that have done things, it's during that moment that God comes down and in inspiration will take your words and what you speak, and it'll cause them to be prophetic words. And so them women, when they were under that birth pain, God got in that and they spoke. And those names, when they were spoken, actually was prophetic of where them children would land and be in their promised land comes down from to be put in there. And then when Joshua come along, Joshua actually took them and placed them and put them right exactly where that prophetic utterance said they would be, even if Joshua didn't know. Actually, Brother Brent, I think in describing this, he didn't know. Joshua didn't know what he was doing. But yet, he as the servant of God, when he placed them into their portions, they each one was put in the place where God had predestinated that they would be. Now that translates to you and I today. We are predestinated people just like they were. We have promises that God has told us, which is an overcoming life in the Holy Ghost. Not to be defeated in any fashion whatsoever. I don't think that Christians should be victorious in some parts of their life and not others. And I know when I say that, it comes home. But listen, we've got a target that God has set up really high, and we need to shoot for that target. We need to move toward that, as Paul said, press toward that mark. And so if God said He has promises for us that make us a people, that we could step in these promises and not be defeated in any form or fashion, and He predestinated that we could come to that, then God has a Joshua, if you want to put it that way, that can lead us into that. And we know that the Holy Ghost is, you know, is our Joshua. But Brother Branham tells us that this book of Ephesians parallels Joshua. And in the fact that the book of Ephesians, something that's written in the pages of this book of Ephesians, laying there, if we let that come into our life and affect us, it will place us in the full promises of God. That's what he's trying to tell us. And so, you know, Brother Branham, I heard it said before, and I agree with it. He wasn't just preaching sermons and giving titles. He was making announcements, and he was doing things that was pivotal Bible milestones for the church to come to, was being laid down and passed. The church was passing these milestones under this ministry when Brother Branham brought these kind of things. And so Ephesians parallels Joshua and places us into the promises that God gives us. And so somewhere in the pages of this book of Ephesians is truths that if we let it have full place in our life, it'll place us into all the promises of God. And I want to linger on that just for a little bit longer when I say, if we'll let what's in the pages of the book of Ephesians, I'm not trying to say don't use the rest of the Bible, but to me what I am now seeing, there's a special message right there in the book of Ephesians that, like I said, if we would let it have its place in our life, then it would perfectly position us. And there's a reason why that this prophet today brought those things out and said to us, the book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua. And so, I wanted to remind you that Apostle Paul was the church age messenger to the first church age, which was Ephesus. I also want to point out, which we've talked about this, but Paul, this letter was Paul addressing the church that was the literal church that was at the city of Ephesus. Maybe 9 or 12, I don't remember the numbers, wasn't very many people, I think, at some point. But Paul was, and he was now going forth with this gospel to the Gentiles, and he's going out with it, leaving the Jews because they counted themselves unworthy of eternal life. And so he takes it out to the Gentiles. And as he's embarking to take it to all the Gentiles, he's starting the Ephesian church age. He's not only doing that, but he's starting the entire Gentile dispensation. Starts right there because Paul laid the foundation to everything that every Gentile believer will ever have an opportunity under the gospel has to be right there upon what Paul had taught and what Paul brought. And so as Paul's going forth with this gospel, he's actually speaking it to the literal church there at Ephesus, but he's also addressing an age. Right? Because remember in the book of Revelation, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. And so God was sending a message down that he was going to deliver through Paul to that age. And so here's Paul actually speaking not just to the age of Ephesus, but as he did through all his writings, but speaking specifically to the very people in the very city that was going to type out that entire first age by typology. And so Paul was speaking to them. So this message we read here was not just to them as a group, but it was to the entire age. It was to the entire seven church ages, because all seven ages has to be built on that. So they had to stay with that foundation. So he's speaking to all the ages too, not just that one. And so I mentioned the other day, so much that we don't realize just how important it is that Brother Branham would come along and say, I'm staying with what Paul spoke. It wasn't just a cliche. There was a reason why it had to be that way. Because if we as Gentiles expect to be there at all, it'll have to be built upon that foundation of what Paul had taught. So even, no matter what happened, what messenger would come, whether his name was William Branham or somebody else, that messenger, if he come from God among the Gentiles, he'd have to teach what Paul had taught. And everything that he brought in revelation from God would have to agree with what Paul taught. Right. Or else it wouldn't be on the foundation. It'd be another building, another mountain, another tabernacle. Right. And so it had to be that way. All right, on top of that foundation. And so it was to that church. It was to that age. It was to all the seven church ages. And it was specific to this end time bride right now, in this hour where the sons of God come to adoption. I said the other day that throughout all the ages, there was an element in every age of adoption. There was an element of every believer coming to his placing. Every believer of every age had access to the Holy Ghost, so that Holy Ghost in his life would conquer all the things that he needed to conquer in his life. So there was an element of all of these truths and partiality throughout those ages. But you find out when we get down here to the end that God is going to do what he was doing in partiality through ages. God was going to do the whole thing fully, completely, totally in a bride at the end. That bride would actually be the capstone and the redeeming quality that comes for all the rest of them. And so you find out that Paul was also speaking here in this, speaking to this end time group that would come to adoption, because they fully come. And remember, that group is not really part of the seven ages, right? It's the bride age. They come from the bride age. And so Paul was speaking to them also. Why? Because they're Gentile bride. So it has to come from what Paul had taught. And so if Paul was coming to the Gentiles, I'm gonna say it this way. If I was Paul and you were the Gentile people, and let's just kind of act this out just for a moment. The gospel never was to you. All you know is that there's these religious people over here called the Jews, and they, you know, stories say they have this mighty God that, you know, destroyed Egypt and all these things. But you know, you're told you have no access to that God. You're out of the plan of God. You're not in the commonwealth of Israel. You're far off, and you have nothing to do with it, and salvation is not to you. As Jesus said, salvation was of the Jews, right? Not to you. Amen. And so, let's say that's the condition, and yet God had ordained that gospel that the Jews were had and then rejected, God in his infinite mercy had made a plan that gospel was going to come to you Gentiles who had always been told, oh, that's not for you. So God would have to come down somehow, and he preaches the gospel through man, so he'd have to come down and he'd have to pick somebody that would take that to them Gentiles. And that was Paul. And so So if Paul came, and if I was him coming to you, and you being Gentiles, well, I'd come to you. I'd have to begin to tell you. You know what? God had a mystery. And God had a mystery in his mind before the world was that you Gentiles could be partaker of this gospel. And so Paul would have to come and he'd have to start telling the Gentiles, he'd have to tell them, God had a plan for you, and God planned that you would be predestinated to set in heavenly places. You'd be predestinated to come to adoption of sons, and he would go all through those things and show you that's what he'd have to do. He'd have to explain that. And so, to tell you, what God had done, and he'd have to explain to you how that this is coming to you. If the gospel now, if we were doing it right now, and I was Paul and you were the Gentiles, I'd have to explain what God had done, and then I'd have to tell you now, here's how it's going to come to you. And I'd have to explain that he's chosen me as a messenger, if I was Paul, to bring this to you. So you see, Paul would have to have this discussion with those people. He'd have to tell them that I'm the one, and here's what it is that God has done, and he sent me to do that, and how that God had come down and chosen him. So that's what Paul would have to do. And this is what Paul is doing right here in the book of Ephesians. This is this right here, without taking any other writings, you could take this and say, okay, this is the record of how Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles. This is what he told them when he finally set out and he talked to that first age, which was a literal church that he was talking to, yet it was an age that he was talking to, yet it was the entire Gentile dispensation he was talking to, right? Amen. And even us at the end he was talking to. That's why we all have to be there. So Paul was laying this here, and he'd have to tell those things, and this is what he's doing. This is a record of it. And so in chapter 1, Paul tells that God had done, had this miracle, this mystery in his mind, that the Gentiles would be fellow partakers, and that in the dispensation of the fullest time, he'd gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth, and how that God had predestinated us to adoption, and all those different things that Paul talked about. That's what he told them in the first chapter of Ephesians. And so he tells them this, and then he gets into chapter 2, And we took like 7 different parts to get us through chapter 1 and chapter 2, so tonight we're on chapter 3. But Paul tells them how that God had this mystery and that they were to be partakers of it. And in chapter 2, Paul emphasizes mostly in chapter 2 how that the Gentiles were not partakers, that they were far off and they were not nigh to God, and how that they were outside of it, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved him. And so he's telling them how that they were well outside of what God had planned for predestination, but how that now that they were brought near to this and could be fellow partakers of this gospel just like the Jewish people could. So that's what he tells in chapter 2. And then in chapter 2, Paul starts to say some other things. Now what is Paul doing here? He's saying, look, God wants to include you, and you were not part of it, but by his mercy, he's bringing you in. And so he's doing that, but then he has to go from just telling them about the plan of God and saying, God has picked me to do this. He has to move from that and actually start moving into being an apostle to those people. In other words, he has to move from telling them about the plan of God and then move into actually instructing them how to live and what to be and to begin to be the apostle to set them in order. And you see, this is the sequence that takes place, and that starts in chapter 4. But tonight we're just going to talk about chapter 3, and hopefully it won't take too long to do this, but just let the Lord do however he wants to. And so in chapter 3, Paul says, basically what he's saying is, this is why I was selected. Paul's saying, this is why. So we're gonna get into that. And so what I want to do first is, let's just go ahead and read the entire chapter, and then we'll rehearse it and talk about it as we go. And so, chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, for this cause, everything he had just talked about, see, that there was a, he said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promises, promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world without end. Amen. And so this is what Paul is speaking in chapter 3. And so Paul says, after he has rehearsed to them, God had a plan, predestinated you, and you're to be partakers, and you weren't going to be part of it, but he's been merciful to you, and now you can be part of this same thing that God was doing with Israel. And for this cause, what's he doing? He's bringing it to the Gentiles, and he's telling them, for this cause, this is why I'm here, is to bring this to you, because God had a mystery, and it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was for all men to see, and that's why I'm here. So he says, for this cause, God gave me a dispensation. God is a dispensationalist. And so Paul says that there when we were reading there, and I go back and sometimes try to read it. Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. So look what he's saying. God had come down and actually imputed an entire dispensation of time to Paul in his ministry toward the Gentiles. And so Paul's saying that this for this cause, Christ, because he had you in his mind and he wants you to have this blessing, that's why I'm here. And God has now delivered to me an entire dispensation that all you Gentiles can be saved upon what I'm fixing to tell you. And God will count that as an entire dispensation. And it's been delivered into my hand. And so, it's you see how important it is that we move when God moves. The children of Israel moved when the pillar of fire moved. He'd get up and the pillar of fire would move. They'd have to move with him. When he'd stop, they'd have to stop. And that's real clear, real simple, real easy to understand. The scriptures talk about he that abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, you can, you know, if he's moving and you're supposed to stand in the shadow, you can get out from underneath it by getting ahead or lagging behind. And so you can be fanatical and jump out ahead of God, or you can be slothful or whatever and get behind. But the concept is to stay in with God, and God moves. And so you find out that that God is a dispensationalist. And for instance, he had this mystery in his mind for the Gentiles to be partakers. But he hid that. For a long time, he hid that. It said, we just read it, he hid that mystery that the Gentiles should be partakers. He hid that for a while, but now hath revealed it, Paul was saying. Now he's revealed it, because why? It's time for the Gentiles to be partakers. Amen. And so that right there shows you that there's dispensation, because when it went from being hid, this mystery being hid, it went from that to being revealed. That was a change in dispensation. Right. And so that's why denominational mindset and the periods they put behind something God does is an enemy to the gospel. Because this is a plan of God that he's unfolding step by step. And it requires us to move when he moves, and it requires us to sit still for a while when he says, sit still. We've had to do it in the message. Brother Branham told us to be, just to be humble. Don't try to add anything to it or whatever. And see, God would come around and vindicate something by bringing it to pass. What did people do? They run off and did all kinds of things. And we had probably about 6 or 7 or 8 isms inside the message. Each one was some truth. But see, they didn't do what Brother Branham said. And all that he really wanted was for us to set still, set under the Word, and when the time comes, God will move us like we needed to be moved, and when it comes time to move. And so that's why the denominational mindset is it's so hard. And you know, it takes faith to do that. If the church has been setting for a long time in a certain thing, and you know it's the truth of God that he established, maybe did something supernatural to establish the truth, and the church has been in that, and that's all they know. But when it comes time and God reveals something else, it takes faith to step outside of the boundaries or the city walls that you're in, to go out beyond that city wall into something that you feel like in yourself is dangerous. You're going to be vulnerable. There's you're going to be attacked out there. That's not safe out there. It's safe when you stay inside your organization or whatever. Stay in where everybody, there's a group of people and there's strength in numbers. But you see, God calls us to go outside of that. Amen. Scripture said Jesus suffered without the gate. Now therefore let us go to him bearing his reproach. So God will always call us out of our comfort zone. Right? And the only way we're going to get out of our comfort zone is if we, by faith, accept that and move out. And even though in our intellect, we're going to think, you know what, I am vulnerable out here, but by faith, I'm safer out here than I would be back there. That's exactly how that works. And so, that's why it's so important. And so God is a dispensationalist God, and it was hid, now he's going to reveal it. And that brought a change of dispensation that was committed to Paul, for all the Gentiles, toward them, that they might be saved. And so Paul said, for this cause, God gave me this dispensation to you word. And Paul says now, he said, now if you've heard of me, because this had already begun to move, and they were already familiar, and now he's really beginning to talk to them, and he said, now if you've heard of me, of this dispensation, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, when you read what I wrote before in few words, when you read that and you begin to realize that I'm delivering to you great mysteries, you'll understand why I have these mysteries, because God has called me to bring them to you. And so he said, look, God came down and endued me with this dispensation, with this task to come and to bring this gospel to you. And so when you read, you'll understand why it is that I have this, because God has chosen me. This is where this come from. Paul's trying to say it come from God. And so, which was hid in other ages, but now is revealed unto his prophets and the apostles and prophets. And so, you know, that's the way God works. Now, verse 7. Paul is saying all these things, and he says that this is why I'm here. I'm here because God had that mystery, and He wants you to have it. And He has come down and committed to me this ministry. And now here I am. And so he says in verse 4, whereof I was made a minister. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. And so Paul is saying, this is why I was made a minister. God made me a minister of the gospel for this very purpose, to bring this gospel to you. And so, whereof I was made a minister. Verse 8, Paul says, unto me, who is the least of all saints. And I'll add to that, not to add to it, but to put it in perspective of what comes to my mind. God had given this to Paul, a persecutor of the church. You'll find out in scriptures that Paul said, look, and this is the way I, this adds up for me, is that God said, you know, I can see out through time there's going to be a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of bad things, and Satan's going to try and tell them that they're too bad for me to save them. So I'm going to take Apostle Paul, the very one that with signs and wonders, I'm going to bring that gospel to them, and I'm going to take a man who's actually not just a mean man or something like that, but he's actually going to be guilty of actually persecuting the actual people that live in this way that we're talking about, persecuting that church. And I'm going to use him to bring that gospel to them so they can say, you know what, if God had saved Paul, He'll save me, because I haven't killed any of God's people or whatever. And so if He'll save Paul, He'll surely save me. And so Paul says that God came down and He's made me a minister to do this. He said, that's why I'm here. And he said, to me, the least of all the saints. He didn't say the least of apostles. He said, the least of all the saints. Right? And I will point out to you, remember the other day when John the Baptist said that nobody had been born among women greater than John the Baptist. However, the least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John. So Apostle Paul, if he says he's the least of all saints, he's still in the kingdom of heaven, and he holds a position that was of a higher magnitude than that of what John did, because it was a different dispensation that Paul was coming into, that we all come into. And so he said, unto me who am least of the saints, in verse 8, the least of the saints, is this given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What's a better way to get somebody's attention is if they can see that God has done something in your life, they know, they can say, you know what, I believe that because I've seen it happen in that person's life. Yeah. So that's what Paul was saying there. And so he comes in verse 9 and he says, and the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, not just Hebrews see, but his job was to come out and make all the Gentile world see this mystery, and to see this, what the fellowship of this mystery is, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So again, Paul is saying, listen, it's been hid, but God is coming now to reveal that to you, to make all men see, not just the Hebrews. And so... And so he says in verse 10, he says, to the intent that now, that's been hid in the past, right? But now it's to be revealed. So he says, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let me rephrase that so that maybe see this the way I read this. God intended for the Gentile people to be elevated into heavenly places. We've already read that in previous chapters of this book. To be elevated into heavenly places and to know things that were taking place in heavenly places. Not just a little bit, but all the way to the point that they understand the principalities and powers. That they understand every bit of that. And that's what he's saying there. So we read that again. To the intent. This was the intent. That now, unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So God desired for the Gentiles to be brought all the way up into that what I said, heaven consists of the Word, to see the Word, to see heavenly places, to see what God's program is, and to understand the eternal power and Godhead and all the principalities, understand all of how that works. The Gentiles was to be partakers of that understanding. And so, all the way into all those things in heavenly places, in verse 11, look at this. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He didn't say everlasting purpose. Eternal purpose. This concept for the Gentiles to come to this gospel and be partakers like this was something God had in Him from eternity. That means that it wasn't something that started, it'll never come to an end, because it come from eternity. We know that there's some things that has a beginning and other things, you know, they'll have an end. But this was an eternal purpose. That means that way back in eternity, when there was nothing but God, and He was the only form of eternal life, then in His bosom was this desire and this purpose. Yeah. And that purpose He put into action when He brought us into this place, sent Apostle Paul to start this gospel, and then 7 ages later delivered a prophet to our doorstep that we could understand these things, these principalities and powers, that the church might know that manifold wisdom of God. And so, it was an eternal purpose. Verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So, Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have access. Our access to these things are in Christ Jesus, through Him. Basically, that if you're in Him, you have access to these things. And not only access to it, but you have boldness and access. You know, the Scriptures say, let us come boldly to the throne of grace.
Right.
And I know that there should be a reverence. We want a reverence. There should be a holy reverence to God. And I don't ever say or do anything that would cause people to not have a reverence for God. And as you know, I've said many times in teaching around here that you know, if someone's going to be a guest of honor, it's going to be because we make him a guest of honor. And we can maintain God in a holy position in our mind because we choose to do so. Because we can't let ourselves move in another way and to where He becomes common to us. And we don't want to do that. I'd like to say to all of us that if you see that happening where it seems like it's, you pray, God, don't let this stuff, don't let this word, don't let this moment, this opportunity, don't let it become common to me.
Amen.
When I have an opportunity to say something to someone, don't let that just be pass over me like just any other event. This is a grand moment. This is our hour. This is our time to do what God has called us to do. And as we read in the book of Ephesians, God is here to back it up and to prove it and show it and perform the things, especially in our day. So we want to do that. We want to just to do that and have it to where He is a guest of honor to us and to where we hold Him in high regard. Okay? To have a holy, I'll go ahead and say it, a holy fear about Him. But you realize that's all, that's the extent of it. It's a holy fear because of who He is. But in the gospel, we shouldn't fear Him. That make sense? When we have needs, we shouldn't fear coming before Him, asking for those needs. The Scripture said, come boldly. So now, if we aren't reverent to God, I think it'd probably be bad to try and come boldly. But if we do have the right attitude, and the right reverence toward Him, but based upon the promise that by that shed blood, I can go to Him easily. I can walk right up there and sit right there and say, I want to talk to you today. I got something I need you to take care of for me. That upon the right basis of the Word, that what it has told me, I can come and I can say, Heavenly Father, I'm here. I'm carrying the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, and I have a need, and I know you'll hear me, because your word said you would. And so, it said that we should come boldly, that we, in whom we have boldness and access, with confidence, not with doubt, with confidence, by the faith of Him. So you find out that there's actually a faith in Christ that's in us, a faith of Him that's in us, His faith. So Paul said in verse 13, he said, "Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." Now I'm not even going to try to get into all that, what that one verse there could say. There's a few comments I'd like to say about it. But you got to realize, I use Brother Timothy since he's here. If God had something He wanted to do, and He said, "Now, Timothy, I want you to get up, and I want you to go do it," rest assured, you, just by that, you know exactly where the devil's going to be working that day. Right. Wherever Timothy's trying to go, whatever Timothy's trying to do, Satan's going to be trying to stop it. Why? Because that's what God is doing. Amen. Now, if it wasn't Timothy and it was Benjamin, well, then Satan would be trying to attack heavily. Benjamin would be the center, the theater of battle that day. Wouldn't be that there was another battle, but that's where the focus would be, because that's where God's commission is. Well, what if God came down when it was time to take a mystery and give it to the Gentiles, and He sent Paul to do it? What would Satan do? Paul would have to suffer great things and great tribulation and great battles. Why? Because he was on his road to bring this gospel to the Gentiles. And so Paul says, "Listen, don't let that bother you. When you see that I am the apostle to you Gentiles, do not faint of all these tribulations and all this stuff that you hear from me, of happening to me. Don't let that bother you, because it's supposed to be that way. That shows you that I'm on God's business, because Satan is fighting it." And so that's Paul is saying, don't faint at this tribulation, because Satan, you know, has to fight those things. So that was verse 13. "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." I'm going to say it this way. For this cause I go, Paul's saying, I go to prayer. I bow my knees because of all this that's taking place. I'm called to bring this gospel to you. Satan's fighting me. I don't want you to be worried about it. And he said, "For this cause, I bow my knee. I go to prayer. I go right straight to the throne of God. I go to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I go to the boss. For this cause, I go and bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named." What? Now, here's what he's doing. He says, "I go to prayer." Now let's look at what he prays. Paul says, "I bow my knee, I go to prayer," and this is what he asks. "That he," talking about God, "that he would grant to you, Gentiles," see, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." So Paul begins to pray and intercede to God and say, "Lord, give to these people that you have sent me to preach the gospel to, give to them the ability to have strength in their spirit, in the inner man, by your spirit." The prayer continues, "that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith." Right? In your hearts by faith, what he says. "That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." This was the prayer that Paul prayed for the Gentile people, that they could understand this, and they could understand the fullness and the full width and the breadth and the depth and everything that God has given to the Gentiles. He says, "God, let them understand it. Give to them," in other places we read it, "give to them the knowledge and the spirit to understand these things." And that's what he's telling them there. Right? That they might understand these truths that God has given. Why? Because up until that point it had been mystery. Right. been mystery, hid until that point right there. So he said, for this cause I pray, I bow my knee. I pray for you and ask God that he would give you all these things. And then verse 20 and verse 21. After he tells what he prays, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now, look at what Paul is saying here. Unto him, he's giving praise and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Not just what we could ask, but even anything we can even think or comprehend in our own mind. He's more than able to do anything well above all that. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we should ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And to be facetious, according to the power that's afar off, that's not what Paul said. According to the power that worketh in us. Mm-hmm. Saints, that's why I want to say just by in kind of closing tonight, that power that worketh in us, it's here tonight. Mm-hmm. It's here tonight and it's in the midst of the people. You know, some of you that's here regulars, and you've heard some of the testimonies of the things that God has done recently and with different people. And, I mentioned this to the rest of the church, and I'll just kind of briefly mention it right now because I'm going to let the Lord deal with me on it, on how to approach it. But I feel like that we as a whole, because I'm just one person here, and I might stand before you each week, but that's just, you know, we're a body. But we have people among us that have things that they've sought God for healing. We have people among us that have things that they've sought God for a long time. And I don't know exactly how to say it, but I think that I would like for us to join together as a group that we are, and to begin to go before God on behalf of these needs among us. I've got some myself. And to go with this mindset, and I hope this doesn't scare people, but because I'm going to ask, if it scares people, I'm asking, you know, what do you want a pastor for? But this is what I feel the Lord is dealing with me on, and that is as a group for us to go before God with these needs and go before Him with this mindset, and that is to say, Lord, whatever it is that's the problem that's causing this to not happen, this healing that we need for this person, or this deliverance for that person, whatever it is, God, we're asking you now to reveal what that problem is. For you to clean us, to clean house from here all the way back, and whatever's standing in the way, you bring that out and cause it to be moved out of the way. Whatever it is, you bring that, and so we as a group to do that together, I believe God will answer. I believe we'll see things happen, but we've got to be fervent in doing that. And so I don't feel that fervency just yet, but I know that the Lord's been dealing with me on that. And so, because there are some people among us that are getting healings when they need to, and there's some that don't. And it's not what we're hearing here. What we're hearing is that all of the promised land belongs to us. Amen. Right? Brother Branham actually said this, and I don't see any reason, I mean, we're not prophets or that sort of thing, but he said, I never asked God, I never prayed a prayer that God didn't either answer or tell me why he couldn't answer. And that's what I'm saying. We got promises laying in here that we should possess a lot more things than what we're possessing.
Amen.
And so I feel a burden and a moving in that direction. And I don't know, we'll just have to see how the Lord does it. But I want it to be His movement But I believe we're coming to a time where we can be sincere with God and say, you know what? Because they did it in the Old Testament. They went out there and lost 17 men or however many it was when Achan did what he did. They come back in desperation and said, time out. Stop right here. Stop. There's something wrong. There's something wrong because God said we wouldn't even need a paramedic when we fought these enemies. We wouldn't need nothing, and now we've got men that have died. Something's wrong somewhere. And their desperation, they went before God, and God revealed what the problem was. And so I realize that what I'm asking as a church would be a tremendous thing. You know, I should be looking at myself first, okay? I understand that. But asking the church to do a tremendous thing is to arm ourselves with that mindset and say, you know what? There's something wrong here. Because I'll tell you what, saints, if William Branham was standing behind his pulpit every week, some things would happen. Right? Same God.
Right.
Same Jesus Christ. Right? What am I saying? That means that what I feel the Lord moving is going to move us in a direction where it's going to require some serious maturity on our part to search ourselves and to search each one and for us to say, you know what? I'm either going to come with deliverance of whatever it is that's in my way, or it's going to be exposed.